Inner Exploration by Venerable Saila Susila. Inner Exploration is the name of a talk given by the Buddha in a town of the Kurus called Kamasadama. During the Buddha's time, the Kuru people were known to be highly intelligent and keen on practicing the Dhamma. The Buddha gave many profound talks in Kamasadama, such as the Discourse on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness and Magandhiya Sutta. One day, the Buddha asked a group, "Do you engage in inner exploration, monastics?" When this was asked, one answered, "Venerable Sir, I engage in inner exploration." The Buddha asked him, "How do you engage in inner exploration, monastic?" He explained, but his explanation did not satisfy the Buddha. Ananda, who understood the Buddha well, promptly invited the Blessed One to give a discourse. "Now is the time for the Blessed One to explain inner exploration. We will listen respectfully and remember it." The Buddha then explained, "Here, monastics, when engaging in inner exploration, a monastic explores the many diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world headed by aging and death. What is the source of this suffering? What is its origin? From what is it born and produced? When what exists, do aging and death come to be? When what does not exist, do aging and death not come to be? All beings love happiness and dislike suffering. However, suffering is inherent in conditioned existence. As long as life continues, suffering is inevitable. Therefore, the Buddha taught that when engaging in inner exploration, it is wise to explore the diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world headed by aging and death. Let us explore the many kinds of suffering that arise. When we speak of suffering, or dukkha, in the Buddha's teachings, we refer to three types: dukkha, dukkha, viparinama dukkha, sankhara dukkha. Bodily suffering, dukkha, dukkha. Dukkha, dukkha refers to physical suffering. As long as we have a body, we will have this kind of suffering. Only when the body comes to cessation will physical suffering come to an end. Bodily pain is easily discernible in meditation. When a beginner starts meditating, one feels pain after 20 or 30 minutes. This type of pain can manifest itself as excessive hardness, pressure, stiffness, heat, tightness, and so on. These are all characteristics of the four elements of which our body is composed. Some may feel pain more quickly if they are unaccustomed to sitting still with crossed legs. When they feel such pain, the overwhelming desire to move arises, and they shift and change posture. However, pain soon returns. Unable to bear that pain and lacking sustained effort, they may keep changing postures whenever pain is felt in different parts of the body, be it the neck, shoulders, thighs, buttocks, or feet. When pain persists, the mind often starts to become irritated. We may think, "Why on earth do I have to suffer this pain? Why don't I just get up and walk to ease it?" Then one might get up and practice walking meditation. after walking for a period of time, there may again be discomfort in certain parts of the body. As long as we carry this burdensome body, we cannot escape dukkha-dukkha, bodily suffering. In daily life, dukkha-dukkha cannot be felt as clearly as it can during a meditation retreat. This is because we keep changing posture whenever we feel the slightest discomfort in any part of the body. Moreover, our minds are restless most of the time. A restless mind is powerless. It cannot see the true nature of the body as inherently associated with pain. During a meditation retreat, we are not allowed to move and change posture as we would like until the sitting session is over. When we maintain a single posture for a certain length of time, unless we are in absorption, jhana, we will feel dukkha, dukkha. Bodily suffering can become very intense if we are being tortured or suffering some severe illness. Dukkha, dukkha is the first type of suffering. Number 2. Suffering due to change. Viparinyama dukkha. The second type of suffering is viparinyama dukkha, suffering due to alteration. This refers in particular to the change of pleasant feeling. For example, when we go to a restaurant hungry, as soon as the food is served, we greedily scarf it down without setting up mindfulness. Every mouthful gives a strong, pleasant sensation and temporary satisfaction. The pleasant feeling conditions more craving. To satiate that craving, we continue eating until we are so full we have to loosen our belt. Overeating causes heaviness and sluggishness of body and mind. It may even lead to indigestion and bloating. The pleasant feeling that came from savoring now changes into an unpleasant feeling as a result of the unguarded tongue ador that leads to overeating. This is called viparinama dukkha, the change from pleasant to unpleasant feeling. No one can avoid viparinama dukkha because change is a universal characteristic of existence. When change occurs in our fortune, relationship, life, career, and so on, we feel distress. Number 3. Suffering as a conditioned state. Sankhara dukkha. The third type of suffering is sankhara dukkha, suffering as a conditioned state. Mind and body are conditioned states in that they are produced by karma rooted in past ignorance and craving. When that productive karma is exhausted, this body falls away, and our mind process fares on according to the ripening of other karma. Most people enjoy life, believing it to be pleasurable. We work hard trying to keep our bodies healthy and strong by various means. However, in an ultimate sense, these bodies undergo aging at every moment. We are unable to penetrate this truth. When death approaches, we feel sorrow and grief, unable to part with what we cling to and hold dear. Illness, aging, and death are natural processes no one escapes. This is called sankhara dukkha. What is the source of these three types of suffering? The Buddha's teachings emphasize using cause and effect to remove the wrong view called self. The Buddha wanted us to explore further. What is the source of this suffering? Its origin? How is it born and produced? exploring the relationship between cause and effect, suffering and its origin, we come to understand that the many kinds of suffering that arise in the world, headed by aging and death, are the effect of causes. Now, if this is so, what are those causes? This is a key question for inner exploration. The Buddha answers, "The diverse kinds of suffering that arise in the world, headed by aging and death, has acquisition, upadhi, as its source, as its origin, and is born and produced of it." What is acquisition? The commentaries explain it as the acquiring of the five aggregates, form, rupa khanda, feeling, vedana khanda, perception, sanya khanda, volitional formations, sankhara khanda, consciousness, vijnana khanda. These five khanda or groups, heaps, phenomena, are ultimate realities. Conventionally, the reappearance of the five aggregates is rebirth. And when there is rebirth, there is inevitably aging and death. Because there is rebirth, one has to undergo dukkha-dukkha, bodily suffering, viparinyama-dukkha, suffering due to change, and sankhara-dukkha, suffering as a conditional state during one's life. Between rebirth and re-death in any lifetime, there is sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair, contact with the unloved, separation from the loved, and not getting what one wants, all of which are together called suffering. This is the noble truth of suffering, the first of the four noble truths taught by the Buddha, which have the power to ennoble us, that is, lead us to awaken. If acquisition, or acquiring the five aggregates, is the truth of suffering, what is the source of this acquisition, its origin? From what is it born and produced? We can explore with insight in this sequence as the Buddha explains. Acquisition has craving as its source, craving as its origin. It is born and produced of craving. When there is craving, acquisition comes to be. When there is no craving, acquisition does not come to be. Craving is the second noble truth, the origin of suffering. Why do these acquisitions or five aggregates rearise and again come into being? The Buddha answers precisely by aiming at the cause, craving rooted in ignorance. In order to remove the suffering inherent in the five aggregates, we need to know the origin and cause of our suffering, craving. That way, we know how to skillfully handle and uproot it. Without tackling the origin of suffering, which is only the effect, not the cause, we cannot come to the end of suffering. Therefore, smart practitioners investigate and discern the causes of suffering, not the suffering itself, which, as was said, is only the effect, outcome, the result of craving. What is craving? There are three types. Craving for sensual pleasure, kamatana, craving for continued existence, bhavatana, craving for non-existence, vibhavatana. Number 1. Craving for sensual pleasure, kamatana. Kamatana is sensual craving. It is enjoyed through the 6 sense doors coming into contact with their respective sense objects. For example, eyes constantly look for visible forms, particularly beautiful, pleasing, and agreeable ones. When a beautiful form contacts the eyes, we feel pleasure and gratification. This is how we enjoy sensual pleasure through the eyes. And similarly, our ears want to hear pleasant sounds, such as music or sweet praise, which make us happy. Our nose seeks lovely fragrances. Our tongue searches for delicious flavors. Our body presses for soothing touch, such as the soft caress of a loved one. And our mind craves fantasies, freely imagining or remembering whatever we want as we try to make ourselves happy. A poor man may imagine he possesses a luxurious car or mansion filled with beautiful women. Daydreaming is a type of mental enjoyment often rooted in sensuality. This is called kamatana, craving for sensual pleasures. Number 2, craving for existence, bhavatana. Craving for sensual pleasure extends to another kind of craving called bhavatana, craving for continued or eternal existence. Only through existence, becoming, are the 5 aggregates acquired. Without existence, there are no 5 aggregates, no 6 sense bases, in other words, no body and mind to enjoy sensual pleasures through contact with their respective sense objects. In order to continue enjoying sensual pleasure, we crave for continued existence, also known as the acquiring of the 5 aggregates, rebirth, renewed existence, another life. For some beings, the enjoyment of sensual pleasure through the body is repulsive, yet they still crave for continued existence, mental and formless, free of a body. They practice the formless or immaterial jhanas to be reborn in the immaterial sphere. Beings in the immaterial sphere have no body with which to enjoy gross sensual pleasures. Yet, they enjoy having a subtle mind, a mind endowed with the bliss and peace of absorption, concentration. These beings crave for existence for the sake of jhanic bliss. This is a craving for continued existence. These 2, craving for sensual pleasure and craving for existence, are often accompanied by a pernicious wrong view called eternalism. The idea that it is one and the same being, self or soul, who enjoys sensual pleasures in one existence and the next. Say, for example, we are born with health and wealth in this life due to previous karma and enjoy sensuality in excess. Due to negligence, we may become strongly attached to the enjoyment of sense pleasures. This inclines the mind to a future human rebirth or a divine life so that the same self can continue to enjoy the same kind or a higher kind of sensuality in the future. Wrongly grasping the situation, we fall under the view that it is the same person, the same self, transmigrating from one life to another, to yet another. This is called the wrong view of eternalism, satsa ditti. Through ardent insight, practice, we discover that even during a single lifetime, there is no same self, from one day to the next, not even from one moment to the next moment. Number 3, craving for non-existence, vibhava tanya. The third type of craving is vibhava tanya, craving for non-existence. This type of craving is associated with the opposite wrong view called annihilationism, uccida dicci, the theory that someone exists that could be destroyed. A person who holds this pernicious wrong view believes that everything ends at death. Such a person, not believing in the law of karma operating from life to life, may therefore lack a healthy moral dread or fear of wrongdoing. These three types of craving are the root causes of rebirth, renewed existence, again becoming, renewed acquisition of aggregates. When one re-arises, that is to say, comes into being in another life, in either the sensual sphere or fine material sphere, one acquires a body and mind. Having acquired a body and mind, we inevitably undergo aging, illness, and death, the major sources of suffering in any life. Were there no body and mind, there would be no aging, sickness, or death to undergo. This is the law. No one escapes it, not even the Buddha. The Buddha and Arahants do get beyond it, however. That is the goal of Buddha's practice, making an end of all suffering. Therefore, the Buddha points at craving rooted in ignorance as the truth of the origin of suffering, the second noble truth, or Samudaya Sakka. Where does craving arise? Another question deserves our serious attention if we are to rid ourselves of craving and suffering. When craving arises, where does it arise? Since all craving rooted in ignorance is the origin of all suffering, we must discern where it arises. And when it settles, upon what does it settle? As we explore inwardly, we come to understand whatever it is in the world that has a pleasant and agreeable nature, it is here that craving arises when it arises. It is here that it settles when it settles. What things have a pleasant and agreeable nature that causes craving to arise? 6 sense bases. Eyes, ears, body, tongue, nose, and mind have a pleasant and agreeable nature for us. It is here that craving arises when it arises. It is here that it settles when it settles. Eyes appear pleasant and agreeable to us, do they not? With eyes, we can greedily gaze at whatever objects we like to please and gratify ourselves. We consider eyes pleasant and agreeable. With eyes, we see pleasing forms. With ears, we hear sounds we like, such as the voices of the opposite sex. With a body, we can contact pleasant tactile sensations. The same goes for the other sense bases. These 6 internal bases have a pleasant and agreeable nature, so craving arises and settles on. 6 sense objects. Craving is insatiable. It proliferates, extending from sensory bases to the objects of sense. We crave not only for our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, but also for their corresponding objects, forms, sounds, scents, tastes, tangibles, and mental objects. External sense objects, such as sexually enticing forms, have an agreeable and pleasant nature to gratify the eyes. In the time of the Buddha, a newly ordained monk, Venerable Vangisa, was left behind as the caretaker of a pleasant monastery in Alavi. Beautifully adorned women wishing to see the place visited one day. When Venerable Vangisa's unguarded eyes came into contact with their alluring forms, lust immediately infested his mind. The woman had a pleasant and agreeable nature, conditioning the craving that arose. The Buddha said, "I do not see even one other form that so obsesses the mind of a man as the form of a woman. The form of a woman obsesses the mind of a man." The same holds true for women beholding the form of a man. In addition to pleasing forms, craving arises and settles on pleasant and agreeable sounds, scents, tastes, tangibles, and mental objects. In one illustration of craving arising and settling on pleasant and agreeable sounds, the Buddha's half-brother, Nanda, once developed a fixation. The Buddha visited him on his wedding day, and when departing, passed his alms bowl for Nanda to carry for him. Nanda was honored to hold the precious bowl. He did not know what else to do, as Buddha did not say anything, but just turned and walked off. Nanda, out of immense respect for the Buddha, followed him with the bowl. As he followed the Buddha, his fiancée, the belle of the land, Janapada Kayani, saw him following along with the bowl. Worried that Nanda might decide to become a monk instead of getting married, she enticingly called out, "Oh dear, come back to me soon." Out of respect for the Buddha, thinking he would remember his bowl at any moment and turn around to take it from him, Nanda followed all the way to the monastery. When the Buddha arrived, he turned to look at Nanda. Seeing him holding the bowl, he asked, "Do you want to become a monk?" Nanda, of course, had no intention of becoming a celibate ascetic on his wedding day to the most beautiful woman in all the land. However, instead of speaking up and saying no, for reasons he could hardly understand, he nodded his head. The Buddha ordained him on the spot. Because Nanda became a monk not by his own choosing, but out of respect for the Buddha, he did not enjoy celibacy, solitude, or separation from his beautiful fiancée and luxurious life as Sakyan prince. His mind could not settle on meditation subject, for it was instead constantly occupied with sensual longing and the sound of his beloved bride's voice calling out, "Oh, dear, come back to me soon." As days passed, Nanda became sullen and emaciated. All he could think about was that enticing sound, "Oh, dear, come back to me soon." Craving arose and settled upon that sound. Understanding his plight, the Buddha used skillful means to rouse Nanda's sense of spiritual urgency. Then Nanda was finally able to let go of his sensual desire for his fiancée. He secluded himself from the company of all other monks, strove diligently, and in no long time became an arahant. Six types of consciousness. In addition to the six sense bases and six sense objects, the Buddha taught that there are six types of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness, that are agreeable and pleasurable. Here, craving arises and establishes itself. Without eye consciousness, even though the eye base were to come into contact with a pleasing form, pleasurable seeing would not be achieved. Six contacts. The coming together of eye consciousness, eye base, and form is termed eye contact. In this way, pleasant eye contact causes craving to arise and establish itself. The same goes for pleasurable ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind contact. As contacts are continually arising, our senses are constantly exposed to the impingement, contact, of sense objects. Six, feelings. The pleasant contacts of the senses cause pleasant feelings to arise. For example, when agreeable food contacts the tongue, pleasurable feeling arises. Dependent unpleasant feeling, craving, arises and settles unpleasurable feelings born of this contact. Six types of perceptions. Similarly, craving arises and settles on six kinds of perception. Moreover, if we perceive the six sense objects as pleasant, permanent, or cling to the perception that there is an enduring self, we strengthen wrong view. We fail to see things as they really are, beset by many kinds of dukkha, in addition to being radically impermanent and impersonal. For example, if we previously enjoyed food that left a distinctive impression on the mind before a meal, we might see that food. That eye contact leads to the perception of the food as that same tasty food. That perception leads to the arising of craving even before the tongue actually tastes the food. Six volitions. The way we perceive things also causes volition, the will or motivation to act. For example, when we perceive that watching a show is pleasurable, we tend to indulge and delight in it. There are six volitions for six sense objects that might gratify us. Therefore, the Buddha said, volition in regard to the six sense objects in the world is agreeable and pleasurable, and there this craving arises and establishes itself. Thinking and pondering. What one perceives, one thinks about. If one perceives that life is full of happiness, then one thinks and ponders the prospect of renewing existence again and again. Even when we are not impinged by pleasant and agreeable sense objects in the present, craving arises when we delight in thinking and pondering past and or future pleasant and agreeable objects. When we take delight in remembering great food or daydream about pleasing bodily sensations in the future, craving arises and settles on thinking and pondering. In brief, when six internal objects, six external objects, six types of consciousness, six sense contacts, six feelings born of contact, six perceptions, six volitions, and thinking and pondering are regarded as pleasant and agreeable, it is here that craving arises when it arises. It is here that it settles when it settles down to establish itself. The aforementioned mental and physical objects can be categorized into the groupings of the five aggregates of clinging. eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body, with their respective objects, forms, sounds, scents, tastes, and tangible objects, belong to the aggregate of form or the body. Perception, feeling, contact, volition, consciousness, and so on, belong to the aggregates collectively referred to